Okay, well, here we are. Thanks for coming to the, Dennis, you want to come up? You can't hide, man. Welcome to the Candidates Forum. This is hosted by the Sandpoint Reader, sandpointonline.com, and krfy.org. KRFY is streaming this right now, and I'm sure there's a lot of people listening, so thank you for listening, people out there. We appreciate you all coming tonight. A couple ground rules, which I'm going to follow myself right now. Turn your phones on silent. There we go. We'd appreciate it if you guys don't boo. That's kind of one of my things. You can go and boo in your car on the way home all you like, but in here I don't like the booing, so... treat everybody with respect. This is hard running for office. Just give them the time to explain their platforms and their position on the issues. They're here for you to make the best decision you can. So without any further ado, we are going to start with opening statements of a minute and a half, and then we're going to go into question and answers. If anybody would like to write a question down for the candidates, Chris has some note cards here and some pens. Just wave your hand in the air at any time, and he'll come by with a note card and drop one off for you. And if you have one, just wave it in the air, and we'll come grab it. Candidates, Sandy down here will have the time. She'll give you the... Yeah, there you go. We're all set. Okay, we're going to start with the county races. Dennis, why don't we start with you? Dennis Engelhardt is running for Bonner County Assessor. He's running as an incumbent and uncontested, but he's going to give an opening statement.
3 minutes?
Minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Oh, that's going to be a challenge.
Talk really fast.
All right. So Dennis Engelhardt, Bonner County Assessor. I'd like to start out with a few expressions of gratitude. First to KRFY, Sandpoint Online, and Sandpoint Reader for hosting tonight's event. Second to all of you who showed up tonight. I understand that the principal election in this year's cycle is the presidential election, and so I appreciate you choosing to spend some time with your local candidates. Lastly, I'd like to thank all of you that voted for me in the primary election. You didn't have to check that single option, but you did, and you did so in more number than for any other uncontested candidate, which I appreciate. I appreciate your confidence in the job that my staff and I are doing, trying to make Bonner County Assessor's Office the best run in the state. I'd like to quickly share, as much time as I have, some of the updates in the office since the primary. We have a full complement of staff now, the first time in recent history, I'm told. We've created a full-time new construction appraiser, and that'll work year-round to try and get those properties onto the rolls. Our policy of no visits without owner's written permission is working real well. We're seeing around 40 to 80% authorization, depending on what part of the county you're looking at. My appraisers tell me that there's 1 to 10% of the parcels that they visit are receiving a reduced assessment based on their eyes on appraisal. They're reporting positive. Time's up. Okay. Dennis Engelhardt, Bonner County Assessor. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thanks, Dennis. The other Bonner County races, Bonner County Sheriff is an uncontested race with Daryl Wheeler, the incumbent. He let me know today he wasn't going to be able to make it. And Bonner County Prosecuting Attorney Lewis Marshall, incumbent, and he is running uncontested as well, and he's not going to make it tonight. So we're going to launch right into the commissioner race, District 1. How about we start with Brian Domke, Republican. Minute and a half, please.
Good evening. I am Brian Domke, running for the District 1 Bonner County Commissioner seat. I thank everyone for taking time this evening to come out and become informed voters. I moved my family here a little over 10 years ago, and we chose to make Bonner County our home. We love this place. We love the rugged landscape. More importantly, we love the community, the people that form the community. I really have been taken back by the impact of growth and how it has burdened our infrastructure as well as our county budget in a way that it cannot bear going forward with the current path that we're on. I would like to use my background of professional experience as well as the amount of time I've been volunteering since having moved here in order to help our community as a public servant to lead the effort so that we can make better choices that are thorough, well thought out, and objective decisions to come up with a good plan for how we're going to handle growth, how we're going to support the necessary infrastructure, how we're going to treat our fellow citizens, our fellow electeds, with respect so that we can work together as community members. That is my purpose. That is my goal. I hope to win your support. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. Brian Domke, Bonner County District 1 Commissioner candidate.
Thanks, Brian. And next up, we have Steve Johnson, independent candidate for same office, District 1, Bonner County Commissioner.
There we go.
I'm Steve Johnson. I'm a candidate for County Commissioner in Bonner County. I grew up with my three brothers here in the on the family farm in Sagal. I went to Southside Elementary School in Kokalala, graduated from Sandpoint High, and got my bachelor's and master's degrees at the University of Idaho. I'm a farmer, a home builder, an educator, and a small business owner. Marguerite and I raised our four children on the family farm, and we feel blessed that we have children and grandchildren living close by. My main goal is to return common sense leadership to Bonner County government. I have 40 years of experience working with large, diverse groups of people and helping to solve complex problems. I've worked with groups on long-range planning, multi-million dollar building projects, and staff development. It's just common sense that county commissioners need to respect each other and respect the public. It's just common sense that county commissioners have the ability to look to the future, including the need for planned growth and affordable housing. And it's just common sense that county commissioners need to be representing the best interests of all Bonner County citizens. And it's just common sense to be loyal to our neighbors. But some of the candidates here on the stage tonight have been asked to sign a thing called a loyalty oath to an agenda of a huge lobbyist group in Boise called the Idaho Freedom Foundation. I find this very troublesome, and I hope it's one of the questions to the candidates tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. That was District 1, Brian Domke, Republican, and Steve Johnson, Independent. We're going to move on to District 3, Bonner County Commissioner race. Unfortunately, Glenn LaFay, Independent candidate, said he was not going to be able to make it tonight. Ron Korn, Republican candidate, also just notified me he is not going to make it tonight, but he did send a proxy to read an opening statement. Stephen McKnight,
yes.
A minute and a half, please.
Good evening, everybody. This is Ron's speech, so imagine him saying it. I'm Ron Korn, and I'm running for Bonner County Commissioner, District 3. I've been a resident here for over 25 years. I'm blessed to be married to my bride of 33 years and have three great children who were born here, work here, and want to stay here. I'm running for commissioner because I'm tired of seeing our local government consistently taking from the residents. There were no permits within the county when I moved here. Now there are over two pages of itemized permissions necessary if you want to do things on your property, such as build a fence or a deck or put up a sign, among other things. My children do not know the liberties that I got to experience when I first moved here, and I aim to change that. I've been embarrassed at the lack of decorum and respect at our weekly business meetings over the last couple of years. As a sitting commissioner, I've been able to change that decorum in my first 2 weeks at work. We need to build bridges, not walls, now more than ever. I do not support mob rule, but I do believe that our representatives do need to listen to the people and consider other facts they bring to the table. That's why I voted to bring back public comment to each agenda item at my first meeting. As commissioner, we are tasked with making decisions that are best for the people of the county while fulfilling the county government's responsibility. I've been able to do great things for the people and our county government in just the 2 weeks that I've been here. I know that I can do so much more if I'm elected in November. Please vote for Ron Korn for Bonner County Commissioner, District 3.
Thank you, Steve. All right. That was Barnard County Commissioner District 3 race. Glenn LaFay, Independent. Ron Korn, Republican. Mr. McKnight is not going to participate in the question and answer period for Mr. Korn. He's just going to. So he's going to. He's a smart guy and get off the stage. All right. We're moving on to the Idaho Legislative District 1 race. That's Idaho Senate, Idaho Representative Seat A, and Idaho Representative Seat B. We're going to start with the Senate race. Dan Rose, Independent, you have a minute and a half for opening statements, please.
Again, thank you all for coming to the mundane event that you'll experience tonight, but hopefully some good information is shared with you. Thank you again to KRFY, Sandpoint Reader, Chris Bessler, Ben Olson, and Zach Hagedon. Tonight you'll hear our positions that on matters that might influence your vote, but more importantly, it's information that impacts your principles and cultural values. Those cultural values I recognize to be first and foremost faith in God and our Savior Jesus Christ, independence from government tax and regulation, good education, both public and private, moral health care, respect for neighbors, resilience of independent spirit, and Trump populism. My political bio is 6 years, is significant BOCC participation. I know all the commissioners and the prospective commissioners that will be elected, and I'll be able to work with them at the state level on a very good basis. I've been a member of the board of directors of Sully Valley, Save Sully Valley, a 6 year Penderley Hospital Taxing District trustee, 7 years at the Bonner County Republican Central Committee as a precinct committeeman, VFW vice commander, an entrepreneur, and all aid in my ability to carry the torch of liberty to Boise. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Dan Rose, Independent for Idaho Senate. And next we have Jim Woodward, Republican for Idaho Senate District 1. Jim, minute and a half, Jim.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate the opportunity here this evening. Thanks to everyone for coming out. I'm asking to serve as your state senator again. I have served for you 4 years previously, and I always, when I get in front of the crowd, I realize why I'm asking to serve. That's you out here, the folks in the crowd, who are part of this community that I want to go and represent. And so when I use that word, or I say that word represent, because I think, I believe certainly that I'm not asking to take this position and then go down and push my positions, but the job is really truly about representing the community and hearing everyone in the community. So that is what puts me up here. I think if you, the pieces that I do believe in, or my thoughts, you should know that I'm still a traditional conservative Republican. I believe in small, light touch of government, and we are looking for those traditional, what I call the traditional Idaho values. And I respect that there are people who have been here for many, many generations and have some values, and at the same time, there are people who have been here a shorter time. I think we all have that idea of what Idaho is, and that's what I'm asking to represent, is to take those ideas from the community and give us a place here to all live and enjoy. Thank you.
Okay. That was Legislative District 1, Idaho Senate race with Dan Rose, Independent, and Jim Woodward, Republican. We're moving on to Idaho Representative Seat A, District 1. We are going to start with Karen Mattei, Democrat.
Minute and a half.
Oops. All right. Welcome, everybody, and thank you to our hosts for giving us this opportunity tonight. So, yes, I'm running for House Seat 1A. A little bit about me. I was a journalist for 20 years before moving into the nonprofit sector, where I managed communications for an organization serving landmine survivors in Southeast Asia and Afghanistan. I was also a marketing director for a large humane society. Service has always been important to me. And I am running in this race because I care about people. It's really as simple as that. I've knocked on a lot of doors, and I've seen how many families are struggling in our district, trying to juggle work and find affordable childcare, driving 45 minutes or more for prenatal care and delivery, sacrificing health and family time just to keep their schools open. Now, I am fortunate enough to have the time and the energy to go to Boise and fight for everyone to have a better life. And I have the skills to bring to the table. I study issues in depth. I know how to read and interpret complicated documents. I am not afraid to consult experts, stakeholders, and my constituents before voting on a bill. And finally, I am not beholden to a rigid party platform. I will work for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Karen Matei, Democrat for Idaho Representative Seat A. Her opponent is Mark Sauter, Republican, incumbent. Mark, you have a minute and a half, please.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, and thanks to the reader and KRFY. Yes, first thing I want to say is I love this place. I've lived here. I came here in the 60s and finally got to move here in the about a little over 10 years ago. I came from the fire service, retired there after 30 years of service, did some volunteering up here with the fire service here. I've been in Rotary, and I've actually volunteered for the high school here for about as long as I've lived here. All that said, I've been your representative for the last 2 years. I've done my best to represent our whole community. My interest, and I think the interest of all of us, are to have a sustainable community. What's that mean? That means we have a good education system. That means we have a good healthcare system. That means we have good infrastructure. Obviously, we have good public safety. We need to have a good place for jobs. And last but not least, we have to have a good business community that's supported with our own people, meaning that we've trained young kids out of high school and getting them into the workplace. So on my watch, in the last 2 years, we've done some pretty good things. We've supported education, we've supported school facilities, and we've reduced our property tax and income tax. And I'm asking for your vote to go back and continue to represent you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Those are your candidates for the Idaho Representative Seat A in Legislative District 1. Karen Matei, Democrat, and Mark Sauter, Republican, incumbent. Moving on to Idaho Representative Seat B for LD1, we will start with Catherine Larson, Democrat.
Hello, and apologies for the sunglasses. Apparently I encountered something that my body was not very happy with, my eyes in particular. So many of you have heard me talk about the fact that party bosses have taken over. The Idaho Freedom Foundation has bullied our legislators into signing loyalty oaths, and then they tell them how to vote when they get down to Boise, which means they're all voting the same way when they're in Boise. We are fiercely independent in North Idaho, and yet we're allowing party bosses to take over. It just doesn't seem right. So that's the reason that I'm running. I feel like there's a huge cost to North Idaho to this takeover by party power. And the cost is our schools are falling down. I was just at an emergency meeting last week of the West Bonner County School District, and they're now having to divert funds from House Bill 292 to replace boilers in their elementary school. Our infrastructure is crumbling. We have, underneath the growth and the age, I shouldn't say it's crumbling, but underneath the growth and the age, it is stressed to the max. Just got a Nixel report that Clark forecast boil their water. Our doctors are leaving, and it's not serving us to give our power away to the party. So I'm running to bring pragmatic leadership and focus on efforts that are local, increase our freedom, and invigorate an economy that works for all of us.
Thanks, Catherine. Catherine's opponent, Cornell Razor, Republican, we didn't hear from him, so he is not here tonight. So she will still participate in the question and answer period, of course, but Cornell Razor is not in attendance this evening. That about does it for opening statements. We're going to roll right into question and answer period. We have a nice potpourri of note cards of questions here that you've written down. Thank you. Make sure you raise your hand if you want to ask another one or write another one. And Chris will come and give you a note card and a pen. And here we go. I'm going to announce the time for each question beforehand. I'm thinking, you know, we have some no-shows, so we'll do like a minute and a half each question until further notice. We're going to start with county commissioners. We're just going to start with District 1 and keep it at District 1 for these questions for county commissioners, since District 3 is not in attendance. let's see. Starting with Steve Johnson, independent. The question is, if elected commissioner, you would be one of the CEOs of Bonner County government. Please describe what relevant experience you have to manage 250-plus employees, multiple departments, and an $80 million budget. Relevant experience would include strategic planning, stakeholder relations, forecasting, budgeting and auditing, HR functions, etc. Minute and a half, please.
There. Whoops. So my experience has been mainly building or working on big building projects for the public. Multi-million dollar serial levees that built the school buildings here in the Sandpoint area, and at the time, Priest River was part of our school district. So I was on the long-term planning committee. I was on the working out the budgets and which schools to do first. It was complicated at the time, because there had also been a big discovery of asbestos in some of the older buildings. So I was involved. I was actually the principal at Sagal Elementary, and we had to close the school and go to some other buildings. And it was a bump in the road, but with the public input and with the administrative team, then we wound up building this school, new schools throughout the entire Bonner County. So a lot of staff development, elementary principal for 10 years, have worked with quite a few, 10 seconds. but it's been good. It's been a real learning curve, and it's something that I feel confident that I can be a big help to the county. Thank you.
Okay, that was Steve Johnson, independent for District 1, Bonner County Commissioner. Brian Domke, the same question. Would you like me to ask it again?
No, I'm good.
Okay, minute and a half, please.
So my background of experience started as a landscape architect doing design for a large architecture and engineering firm. I moved into a project management position. Our primary clients were K-12 schools, colleges, universities, and post offices. So all of the groups that I worked with were tax-paying stakeholders. And so stakeholder input was critical for all of the planning that we did. As a part of those responsibilities, I also developed the budget for the projects. Some of these projects exceeded $100 million and were multi-year, multi-phase projects. So a great level of complexity. Included in the planning, the permitting, and the construction oversight of those projects was coordinating with federal, state, and local agencies. And so I have experience dealing with those entities and maneuvering through their processes and communicating in the language they understand. Since moving here over 10 years ago, I also spent time as a volunteer on the Natural Resource Committee for the county, as well as chairing the Planning and Zoning Subarea Committee for Priest River Old Town. And now I'm a small business owner in our community and have been for the past 10 years, as well as having worked as a manager for one of our local aircraft companies. So I have a very diverse background of experience and skills, and I hope to be able to apply all of those as listening to you as stakeholders to come up with both creative and effective solutions. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Brian Domke, Republican, District 1, Bonner County Commissioner. Next question, this is for the House seat A and B and the Senate candidates. And we are going to start with Idaho Rep seat A, Mark Sauter, Republican. Your question is, how do you propose to fix the exodus of our doctors? And you have a minute and a half for that, please.
Thank you. The first thing we need to do is pass a women's health exception for the abortion standards. That will, according to the surveys for doctors, that'll make the majority of them strongly consider staying or even come here for training and practice. That's the number one issue. I think that should be the point of our spear as far as our efforts. We have lots of other things to do. We need to continue to support our WAMI program, which is a medical training program that we have. We need to continue to support the ISU programs. But the number one thing we need to do is focus our attention on getting that women's health exception done. I know we can do it. I've carried 5 other bills this year and got them all passed. Some were controversial. And I think if we limit our scope to that, we can make a big difference and start to turn things around. So thank you.
Thank you. And same race, Idaho Rep seat A, Karen Matei. Same question. Would you like me to read it again? You have a minute and a half.
Well, I find myself agreeing with my opponent here that creating an exception to the abortion ban to protect the health of the mother as well of her as her life is the immediate fix that should happen, and it should have happened. It could have happened the past 2 years. Now, I know from talking to physicians groups and citizen groups and the coalition that is now working to get a 2026 initiative on the ballot to restore reproductive rights that they were not listened to. And the words they used, that they begged the GOP lawmakers to do something, and they did not. Only House Minority Leader Ilana Rubel introduced such a bill and was largely ignored. Now, that's the first step. And I would suggest that we need to go further, that doctors, that politicians do not belong in our doctors' offices. I trust the doctors to know best. Sorry, it's a little distracting, you guys. The other thing is that we have to stop passing bills. The legislature has to stop passing bills that criminalize doctors. And I'm just not talking about the trigger law. I'm talking about 3 more bills that were passed unanimously by GOP lawmakers in 2024 that criminalize doctors. Now, that is not going to keep our doctors here in Idaho. And the latest poll shows that 59% of our family practitioners are leaving or thinking about leaving, and it was a big poll. So I put it to you that this is a healthcare crisis, not just a women's healthcare issue. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Karen Matei, Democrat, Idaho seat Rep seat A. We're going to move on to Idaho Rep seat B, Catherine Larson, Democrat. Same question. You want to read again?
Can I take this out?
You, sure.
Okay. So I have to say that fixing a bad bill isn't the route to go. Really what we need is our politicians are stepping into being experts in areas where we have true experts, like our medical field and our educational fields and our libraries. We could fix this bill by just changing the word death to life, I mean life to health. That would help it, but we haven't reduced abortions by a single one. Both Cornell Razor and Scott Herndon say we haven't had abortions here in 20 years, and the purpose of this law was to reduce abortions. So we haven't reduced abortions, we've just chased doctors away and created more strain on an already strained healthcare system. I think the issue is that I don't recognize this Republican Party that's been taken over by the extremists now, because what they want to do is create big government where they control everything and they make all the decisions and they are the parents for all of us. We have experts. We need to take back this law, and we need to trust doctors and women and their spiritual advisors to do the right thing. It's a law that is not creating the intended outcomes, but it is creating a lot of problems for us. We also need to, I think, bring in we need to have good schools so the doctors can be there, and my time is up.
Thank you. That was Catherine Larson, seat B. Mark, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, everybody. We have a rebuttal policy. If you need a rebuttal, just raise your hand. You'll get 30 seconds at any time.
Okay, real quick. I think we need to have a dose of pragmatism. Swinging for the fence is great, and we all love it when somebody can hit a home run in the ninth inning. I think also some pragmatism at the Capitol is important to know. 50% of the people that voted for our trigger laws are still in the Capitol. So that's not an easy thing to change. We passed 4 bills in the last 2 years to improve our abortion statutes. We need to continue, but we also need to be very focused on how we do it. Thank you.
Any re-rebuttal, Catherine?
Very quickly.
Okay. Oh, Karen?
Yeah. Very quickly. We don't know unless we try. And I'm telling you, it is so unnerving for me to see how the freedoms that my mother and her generation fought so hard for are gone. In one fell swoop, our GOP lawmakers have turned back the clock. And we have to try. We just have to try.
Okay, same question. Moving on to the Idaho Senate, LD1. We are going to start with Jim Woodward, Republican. Would you like me to read that question again? Okay, minute and a half, please.
Thanks, Ben. So I think we heard the two key components of the challenge in the existing Idaho abortion law, which is it currently says no exceptions except for life. And then the other piece is the criminalization of doctors, where a doctor can lose license and be convicted of a felony. So we're saying we don't trust those people who have worked 11 to 15 years in becoming doctors, and we go to them to have them take care of us, and yet we can't place that trust in them to make medical decisions. So we need to fix those two components. What's the practical reality of how we go about doing that? And that is going and figuring out who all the stakeholders are. In this case, we're talking about the Idaho Medical Association, Idaho Hospital Association, of course, all the people of Idaho. Now, one group that comes up and really has pushed and put these laws into place sounds fairly innocuous, but it's called the Idaho Family Policy Center. So if you look up Idaho Family Policy Center, you'll find out, see some of the background on the group that has put us in this place, and they are still there and still opposing. And so that conversation about just changing the word from life to health probably plays out in a different way that we go back and look at very specific details and negotiate and work very hard to change the law in small increments. It needs to be done. I certainly, this one has been on the front of my thoughts many, many times, or continuously, and I'm ignoring time's up. But we have to go back and fix this, because the problem we're creating for our Idaho citizens are the women in our lives. And so let's go and do it, but acknowledge the reality of where we stand in Idaho right now.
Hey, thank you. Jim Woodward, Republican. Same question to Dan Rose, Independent. You want it read again, Dan?
Okay, so I've heard 4 comments that were mediocre to I would say, poor. I represent the Independent Party, and I have a conservative libertarian and liberty bent. In this, I will say that the current law, which is 18.622, Cornell read it at the last forum, it states specifically that there are conditions for abortion that are acceptable for the health of the mother, incest, and rape. And it's in the law. Now, I don't know how far you want to take this back, but this is a liberal agenda to try to bring Roe v. Wade. And the SCOTUS said that it's the state's rights. And the state has spoken with the Republicans that run the state at the legislative level. And what they said was something that I think I agree with, that they didn't say it, but I'll put it out there. Proverbs 19:18. It is good to discipline your child, for there is hope, but you shall never be a party to their death. That is not acceptable by status. Individual people of faith understand it. Status have no idea what that means. And I would say, in this case, the only law that needs to be changed on it is a $25,000 first offense and a $50,000 second offense as misdemeanors, and then we move to criminal and license suspension. On the third offense, it's quite clear. Your efforts are part of an agenda, and it's a death agenda, not health.
Okay, 30-second rebuttal by Jim.
I think you see the contrast that I believe in trusting people and those doctors that we talked about. Well, I lost my train of thought. Apologize for that. It'll come back to me and I'll get it. It's fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Dan. Re-rebut. 30 seconds.
I'll give you a minute to collect his thoughts.
Sure.
Now I lost mine. Did you get it back yet?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And we got Jim again. 30 seconds.
And these please. Are the two people who you're making a choice between to go and represent you. At its crux, the problem is we're ruining our medical community. And so it's not only the abortion issue, but when you talk to an emergency room doctor who does face these and is not necessarily an OBGYN, but this is across the board in our medical community. We're going to put ourselves in a place in the state of Idaho where we can't take, we don't have a medical community to take care of us.
Thank you. Dan, with a re-rebut, 30 seconds, please.
Less than that. This is a wide door that we're walking through. And the code 18622 states that in good faith, a doctor acting can contribute or participate in this abortion type action. So that's a wide berth for a doctor to walk through and to be held liable for. The bill is fine. The penalties need to be corrected.
Oh, and a rebut, Mark Souter, 30 seconds, please.
Just real quick. I think the doctors the market is showing us what they think. They're beating feet out of here. So I think that's really the answer, whether we want to talk about morals or politics or direction or anything else. Our medical community is leaving, and we're not having very much success bringing them back. So I think we just need to listen to the market as well and listen to our doctors and say we need to do something to get them back, and it's not continuing to hassle them, and it's not continuing to make it difficult for them. Thank you.
Okay, and we are going to move on to a question to the Bonner County Commissioners. I try to limit my rebuts to once around for every candidate, just so you know. I'm not playing favorites or anything. Otherwise, it's going to be a rebutting evening. Bonner County Commissioner question, since District 1 candidates are the only ones here, we are going to start with Brian on this one. And the question is, the county replaced 7 bridges with $21 million in a federal grant. Would you accept federal grant money or not? And you have a minute and a half on this.
So when it comes to federal funding, whether it's for roads and bridges or really any kind of a project, I'm always willing to consider that funding source, but to do it very circumspectly. The reality is that anytime you accept outside funding, there are conditions attached. We need to understand what those conditions are. We need to understand if they add cost, if they add complexity to the functions of government, and we need to understand if they limit or reduce our local autonomy. Only after we do a thorough evaluation can and should we decide whether it's appropriate to accept those funds. Everything has a risk-reward factor, and we have to take the time to understand the balance and make wise decisions. I would like to see us reduce our overall dependence on outside funding, especially federal funding over time, but that's a process and it needs to be done thoughtfully. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Next up, we have Steve Johnson, District 1 Commissioner. Same question, independent. Would you like that read again, Steve?
Okay. So I think we send plenty of money to the state, to Boise, and we send plenty of money to Washington, D.C., and we deserve to get as much of that money back as we can. And if there's a few more requirements, maybe they're better safety requirements, maybe they're more durable requirements, and I would be very, very reluctant not to entertain grants, programs, shared funding, whatever it takes to make better services and have better roads and bridges and whatever else, broadband, whatever else we can get to make, just like the emergency services building. I mean, if you've been inside that building, it's a very adequate, beautiful building. It has both federal and state funds and hardly any local funds, and it's just important for me to see that we have all the resources we can possibly get instead of sending it somewhere else, because it's going to go somewhere else if we don't use it. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Steve. All right, we are going to move on to another question. This one is for the state reps A and B and Senate candidates. This is a two-part question. First part is, who supports the Idaho Freedom Foundation, and why or why not? And the second part of the question is, you will represent a large number of unaffiliated voters, and how beholden are you to your party's platform, and are there any positions your party's platform has adopted that you are willing to challenge? Does that make sense, everybody? Two-part question. Do you support the Idaho Freedom Foundation, and how beholden are you to your party's platform? Is there anything that you would challenge in your party? We're going to start with... I believe I started with Karen last time. Catherine, Democrat for Idaho Rep Seat B. Minute and a half, please.
So when you say who supports the IFF, are you asking who up here, who of us do?
Correct, yes. Do you support the IFF? Why or why not?
I do not support the IFF. What I've seen is that they have influenced the party platform for the Republican Party. I don't believe that it's supported by all Republicans, but what I've seen is money coming from out of the state to support the Idaho Freedom Foundation. And most of the platform items I see actually route money into the pockets of billionaires. They take it out of our state. It hurts our rural county to have the IFF getting everybody to vote as a block at the state. As far as my party platform... I hate to say it, but I'm not as familiar as I should be with my party platform, probably. I consider myself to be very much of an independent, and I believe that we should be able to worship where we want to worship. I believe that we should be able to love who we want to love, so that probably leans me more towards the Democratic Party, but I consider myself to be an independent, and I believe that most of the people here are independents. And if we sat down at the table, we'd agree on more things than we disagree on. And we would also find things that I'm more conservative than some of the people who consider themselves to be the most conservative.
Thank you. That's Catherine Larson, Democrat, Seat B. We're going to move on to Seat A, Idaho Rep Seat A. We're going to start with Karen Mattei, Democrat. Would you like me to reread the question? Okay. You have a minute and a half, please.
Okay, so first of all, I do not support the Idaho Freedom Foundation, and primarily because I feel that the IFF is working so hard to undermine our public schools. I watched what happened in West Bonner County School District this past couple of years, and to me that was unconscionable, and I know that their platform, what they want to do is to undermine public schools to the point where they can siphon off tax dollars for vouchers for private and religious schools. So I do not support any of that. And I also do think that they are applying bullying tactics to their vocal minority in the legislature, and they seem to be having a lot of luck applying the screws to most of our Republican lawmakers, if not all the time, at least half the time. So I think it's dangerous. I think it's, and as Catherine said, there is a lot of outside money. We just lost in the primary 5 pro-public education candidates, and those were Republicans too, due to outside money funding races for the opponents, the IFF-backed candidates. So it's a dangerous precedent. And what's the other one? My party platform. Yeah, I don't have to sign a loyalty oath, and I wouldn't anyway if they wanted me to. I support a lot of what the Democratic Party stands for, and a lot of that boils down to human rights, and I am a big human rights supporter. But I don't have to sign a party platform, and I'm free to represent you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. That's seat A. And we have Mark Souter, Republican incumbent. Same questions. Do you need me to repeat any of them, Mark?
I think I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay, minute and a half, please.
I'm not beholden. I'm censured. So many of you know, last year I was censured by our local Bonner County Republican Committee. That went even to the state GOP. So I've pushed back, to say the least. Mostly in the Capitol, it's the IFF, really their influence is on grading for bills and on how candidates rate or vote. I report to all of you, so I've cared less about my rating of the IFF. I've cared less about talking to the IFFers in the hallway and them with me. I vote for all of you, and I report to you, and you give me my grade when you go to the ballot box. So the influence of the IFF is big. However, there's probably 12 to 15 people in the House that are really serious IFF grade watchers. The others are careful with their votes. I don't. I listen to you, and I vote for you. So I just wanted to clear the air on that. I am conservative in how I look at everything. But I vote for our community, and I do what I believe is what we need to have to be a sustainable community. So thank you.
Thank you. And we're moving on to the Idaho Senate race. We're going to start with Dan Rose, independent. Would you like me to repeat any of those questions, Dan? You said yes?
I have
got it.
A grasp on it. Thank
minute
you.
And a half, please.
Okay, so I'm an independent candidate, and I was formerly with the Republican Central Committee, as I stated before. In 2021, the Republican Central Committee voted almost unanimously, if not unanimously, to remove Senator Woodward from the Republican Party because he did not follow the platform and he did not perform to IFF standards that rated bills. And those bills were rated on a conservative basis. And IFF stands for limited government, free markets, and low taxes, among another one or two items. That's what they stand for. If you're a Republican and a conservative, that should be welcome to you, that you're seeing a rating system that measures that stuff. Subsequently, in this election, Mr. Woodward is not endorsed by the Republican Central Committee, and that was a 2/3 vote that kept him off that endorsement list. I do support the IFF. I support the Idaho Freedom Caucus as well. And I think both of them keep liberty conservative agendas on the table. And so I support them both. The witch hunt for the Republican candidates seems to be something that happens weekly in the paper. And at the same time, the socialists and the Marxists are being propped up. And I don't see any comment.
Your time's up.
On the Democrat Party.
Your time's up, Dan.
Yeah.
Sit down. Jim, minute and a half, same question.
Was that acronym, was IFF, is that the Idaho Friends and Family Group? I was trying to... I don't have a relationship with the Idaho Freedom Foundation. So that went astray there the very first year out of the 4 years I served there. I went down to Boise with the intent of serving the people in the community that I grew up in. And when you're sitting there and some small group, just really a small group of people try and tell you how to vote, and they score those bills. And so if you vote how they want you to, then you get a plus score, and then they'll go home and tell the people back home that you did a great job. No, I don't subscribe to that. We're making decisions based on the people here, not some special interest group. So I'm a Republican, a lifelong Republican, and you can look at that. But my opponent in the primary didn't register until 2016 or 17 as a Republican here in the state of Idaho. My opponent now was a Republican, but he's decided he's not anymore. I've held true, served in the military, served here as a business member in the community, and I am an Idaho Republican, whether or not the current local group thinks that or not. I'm an Idaho Republican.
All right, we're going to move on. This is a. We had a lot of these questions, so we're combining them into one question. It won't be as complicated as that last one, I promise everyone. It will have a slightly different conclusion for the county versus the legislative, just because it's a little bit more focused. So if you get a slightly different question, county candidates versus as legislative, that's why. We will start with legislative district one. We're going to start with Mark Souter, Republican, in seat A. The question is, are you for or against the ballot measure Proposition 1, the so-called open primaries initiative? If it does not pass, what, if anything, are you willing to do within your party to allow a return to open primaries? And you have a minute and a half for that.
I support our Idaho Constitution. I support the initiative process. I've said it before, I don't believe that elected officials belong telling our voters what they how they should be voting on a citizen's initiative. I think all of you should vote for the initiative the way you see it. Do your research and work on it. The role, if I get reelected, for me is to go back to Boise, and if this initiative passes, to vote the way that our district voted. And I will follow up on that. The second part is, if it fails, what I would do to...
What, if anything, are you willing to do?
How to address it. I think the message is pretty clear. It sounds like we like the open primary part, kind of a return to 2011. There's questions about ranked choice voting. That seems to be the crux of the arguments. I think we look at the positives and see what there is to what we can do to make some changes. But I don't think we'll really know that until we have a vote. So I encourage all of you to vote on it. And if I can get reelected, I'll go back and listen. Or I'll listen and then go back. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Just a quick reminder, I keep hearing cell phone dings out there. This is nice, Ben. If I hear one more, you'll see the not so nice Ben. Please turn them off. All right. Idaho Rep Seat A, Karen Matei, same question. Democrat, same question. Okay. Do you need me to repeat it at all?
No, okay. Thank you.
Minute and a half, please.
Well, I would argue that just by us asking for your vote for us, we're asking you to make a decision. And as far as Prop 1 is concerned, I feel it's such a critical issue that we owe it to the voters to make clear where we stand, just like we do on many other issues. And I don't think this is any different. I'm for Prop 1, and I'm for it because it will give 250,000 plus independent voters a voice in our primary elections. And I recently, at the Veterans Hall, watched a documentary on ranked choice voting, and it is very popular in Alaska right now, except with the small number of opponents, or the minority who are opponents. And Senator Lisa Murkowski stated in the documentary that their Prop 1, their version of Prop 1,
had made her a better candidate and a more responsive senator, and that's the kind of legislator I want to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Same question. We're going to Idaho Senate. We are going to start with Jim Woodward. Same question. Are you for or against Prop 1? If it doesn't pass, what, if anything, are you willing to do within your party to allow a return to open primaries? And you have a minute now. I'm sorry? Well, I'm trying to give everybody a different rotation, so that's why the rotation's weird sometimes. Thanks. Minute and a half, please.
So I grew up in an Idaho with open primaries. I think we had open primaries from about the 1930s on. And so I am certainly supportive of the idea of going back to an open primary, because I look at the last 12 years and see where we've kind of veered off course. I think we need to be back there. I know that, yes, I also understand there's some question about ranked choice voting. It's a little bit confusing for folks, but when I look at it, I think that it would still work. And probably do just what it's intended to do, which is to make sure that our candidates have the best ability to represent the majority of folks. Let's try and find candidates that are under the bell curve, not out on the fringes. I think if you ask me why do I support an open primary, I don't believe necessarily that the big piece is when you look at the numbers. We have 1 million registered voters in the state of Idaho. About 270,000 voters are unaffiliated. Those are Idahoans. Idaho starts with an I because there are a lot of independent people here. They don't want to necessarily say, hey, I'm this party or this party, and take marching orders, which seems to be where we are sometimes. So how can we cut out 27-28% of the voters and say that we're getting an election that really represents the people of the state of Idaho if we exclude those people from the most important election that we hold every year? Here in the state of Idaho, or every other year. So, thanks.
Thanks, Jim. And same question, Dan. Independent, Dan Rose, Idaho Senate.
Okay, so again, my liberty and conservative principles tell me that this is not something to vote for. I understand exactly what's trying to happen here. They're trying to turn Idaho blue. And it's being done by Reclaim Idaho, which is a left-of-center organization. Unfortunately, the civilian petition did not take into account the cost that they've levied upon the county. So it now has become an unfunded mandate, and money's going to have to come from the county, from other places in the budget that they were not willing to take this from, to buy the equipment to engage in this process. That's kind of some of the problems when a civilian petition gets into play. It's maybe not be fully understood all the way around, and it misses something and it creates a problem. I would say that that there is no audit ability, and the county cost is going to be something that we don't know about yet. I can say I sat with a symposium with Kathy Larson a couple weeks ago. And she all but admitted that the county does not have, effort or the ability to pay those fees, and she couldn't answer the question where the money would come from. Integrity is at issue when you consider the vote that is going to be counted in Boise. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Same question, Idaho Rep Seat B. Oh, you have a rebuttal? Oh, go ahead and rebut first, yes.
Okay, first of all, I want to say that I have no connection with Reclaim Idaho. I collected signatures for the education petition, and so I'm not speaking for Reclaim Idaho, and I never said that the county didn't have money. What I have done since then is found out that the cost, based on what it cost in Maine, where they have a very similar situation as we have here, was 50 cents per voter, one-time fee, never repeated again.
Thank you. And yeah, just go ahead and stay up there, unless there's a re-rebut. Same question, are you for or against Prop 1? And if it does not pass, what, if anything, are you willing to do within your party to allow a return to open primaries? And you have a minute and a half for that, please.
Okay, yes, I do support Proposition 1. And, you know, there's a ton of information going around and a lot of confusion. I do hear that most people are supportive of the open primaries, but then it's whether it's open primaries where each party gets their own ballot or it's open primaries where everybody gets to vote for everybody. I like to take it down to an actual scenario. So imagine in my race, Cornell Razor, Chuck Lohman, me, and Bob Vicarious. We're all on the same ballot at the beginning. You can vote for any one of us, and you could vote for people who were Republicans, obviously, and independents. If we went through to the ranked choice voting, now what happens is everybody, independents, get a chance to vote for a conservative Republican or a Democrat or an extremist Republican or a libertarian, I think, basically. In the ranked choice voting, though, you can vote for the person you think will do the best job instead of having to do the calculus of who's most likely to win. Because you could vote for me because you say, oh, I would like to have a woman, she seems smart, but a Democrat can never win in North Idaho. So in ranked choice voting, you can still vote for me. In the current system, you would have to do the calculus of saying who is most likely to win. So I look at that and I look at how could big money come in and disrupt it. And I can't think of a single scenario in ranked choice voting where that would work.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to the county commissioner District 1. Same question with a little bit of a different spin. Are you for or against the ballot measure Prop 1, the open primaries initiative, so-called, and how would the passage of Prop 1 affect the county budget? And we are going to start with Steve on this one. Steve Johnson, independent, and you have a minute and a half, please.
It's kind of fun to be up this high, though. I'm not usually up this high. That could be taken several ways, I suppose. So I'm a strong supporter of Prop 1. And one of the main things I think it will bring about is consensus building and a positive attitude. Because you're not going to get very many votes. The people that lost on Alaska, one of the main reasons they lost is they tried to beat up each other. And so the two that were in the same party tried to beat up each other, and the person who was more constructive and optimistic and had plans that really appealed to a lot of people, she wound up winning the state representative or the federal representative seat. So I think that would be duplicated right here in Idaho, and we need some positive, in my opinion, electioneering. We don't need, in my opinion, culture wars and attacks and putting people down. And I think that Prop 1 will be a big addition to a positive and a productive election cycle. So strong supporter for Prop 1. Thank you.
Okay, and Brian Domke, Republican, same question. Are you for or against Prop 1, and how would the passage of Prop 1 affect the county budget? Minute and a half, please.
Thanks, Matt. So I am opposed to the measure. Should I be elected as a county commissioner, one of the duties of the county commissioners are to certify the election results of our county. Looking at the language of the proposition and the requirements with ranked choice voting, I would have no level of confidence that I could confirm, quantify, and clearly audit the outcome of that type of a system. And so I believe transparency, I believe that integrity of our voting system is critical, and so I would only stand for a proposed solution that will maintain that integrity. When it comes to cost, our current county electeds have been asked about that, and the only opinion I've heard them offer at this time is that they're unsure what the cost would be, other than we understand that there would be new systems that would have to be implemented. So I won't offer conjecture on cost since I haven't heard any real projections come out from those who have the information to evaluate, but I think it's critical that we maintain our election integrity and be able to certify with confidence our election outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Brian Domke, Republican, District 1. We're going to move on. Go ahead, 30 seconds, please.
So just to address that integrity piece, there's a wonderful movie out called Majority Rules, and it talks about the integrity and the ability to hand count after the fact. And so that is a myth that's being put out to scare us.
Go ahead, Brian. Re-rebut, 30 seconds.
I disagree with that perspective. If you look at the calculations that can be required depending on the number of votes and the scenarios, it becomes complex, and to simply say that it can be done easily, I believe, defies the truth of the requirements to follow what that system requires. And again, at the end of the day, we have to be able to prove it. We can't just say it. It might be okay.
Dan had his hand up first. You want to rebut? 30 seconds.
Yeah, so the ballots from every county end up in Boise in a ranked choice voting. And you're now depending on those in Boise to determine whether the vote was right, whether the different permutations and combinations were, how do we say, what was intended by the voter. And you cannot do that with any sense of integrity with this bill, and the use of machines that they might be suspect too if they're included as Dominion machines. But yeah, Dominion machines.
All right, we're not going to have any libelous statements up here about Dominion or Smartmatic. Thank you. Steve, re-rebut, 30 seconds.
It takes me 30 seconds to get that stool out. Intelligence. I've been here for over 60 years. We, as a group, are every bit as smart as those fine folks in Maine and in Alaska. It's not like rocket science. It's not like something that somebody dreamed up somewhere. It's a proven, effective, productive system, and I'm all for it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on. This is for all candidates, and we are going to start with Legislative District 1, Idaho Senate, and it is Dan Rose up first. In the past, some local elected officials' actions have resulted in lawsuits by local, state, or federal entities. These lawsuits against individuals, venues, such as the fairground, the city, or poorly conceived legislation have lost Idaho taxpayers many dollars. What will you do to ensure that your actions do not cause lawsuits and that you respect the constituents in your district? And you have a minute and a half. This is Idaho Senate Dan Rose.
Okay, so I'm not sure how many times a legislator has been sued for some decision they make, because they make it as a body. And so I don't think there's any liability there. At the county level, you're talking about three commissioners. Sometimes it's 2-1 vote, and the two carry a decision over that other one. And I would say that, I can see it happen, because it happened like several times, and today included. Bill Wilson got up on the video, if you saw it, and he stumbled through an excuse of why he didn't know what should be said about the Camp Bay vacation. And just the fact that he stumbled, couldn't ask, and then it was asking the commissioners for what they think they should be in writing. It's legal advice that is, how do we say, suspect at best. And it's that type of thing that does create the lawsuits. They come in different fashions, but generally they're about someone's rights being violated. And the commissioners need to consider those things. I'm a full supporter of the Constitution and its applications. And when you start to veer away from that and make things personal, you're subjecting all of our pocketbooks to a paycheck.
Okay. Same question to Dan's opponent, Jim Woodward, Republican, Idaho Senate. Do you want me to read that again? It was a long one. Okay. Minute and a half, please.
I can paraphrase it. I think the question is, how do I avoid wasting taxpayer money with playground antics? I got a head nod. At least we're close.
I'm a moderator, man.
To be serious, the 4 years that I served, I did see lawsuits between the legislature and other components of government or other groups. That does happen. And so when we're trusted with the public money, then we should be able to go there and maintain that level of civility and maturity to be able to go into a room, have that tough conversation, and still come out saying, maybe we haven't gotten the answer today, but we got a little bit closer. And so that's really what it comes down to, is just to take on the job with seriousness and to be able to pull yourself back and not think of your own personal interests, but you have to represent the community. I think that's the skill that I learned in the military, to realize that I'm part of an institution, had a role to play in that, and I can take those same skill sets and do that in Boise, and not spend your money foolishly.
Hey, thank you. That was the Idaho Senate race. We are going to move on to Idaho Representative Seat B race, which is Catherine Larson here today, Democrat. Same question. You have a minute and a half, please.
Okay, so I think that this is actually part of the IFF's agenda, is to take things to lawsuits. One of the laws that was passed in this last legislative session was allowing, I believe it passed, I'm not totally sure it passed, but allowing Labrador to sue our city and county officials. So I think that that's part of their playbook, is let's get things into lawsuits, and that's a way to influence things. I believe that if you have broader voices, more voices with different opinions, you will end up understanding the implications and the unintended consequences of bills that you're passing. That perspective is really valuable. I've also been trained in a lot of problem solving and really looking at the system effects of things. And so I think that it's taking the time when you're writing the bills. And it's also recognizing that that is absolutely not small government if you're playing fast and loose with the taxpayers' money and ending up in lawsuits over badly written bills. And so I believe that it's taking the time, it's getting the perspective, it's not shutting down voices in the legislature that have a different opinion than what you have. And so I will have the courage and the sense to help problem solve.
Hey, thank you. That was Catherine Larson, Democrat, seat B. Next, we're going to Idaho Rep seat A. We're going to start with Karen Matei. Karen, Democrat, would you like me to read the question again?
No.
Okay, minute and a half.
So the first thing I think we can do as legislators is to thoroughly research an issue and a bill, a proposed bill, before we vote on it, which I mentioned earlier. I paid very close attention to the legislature this past year and a half, and they do seem to me to be a little trigger happy, you know, and our attorney general cannot seem to stay out of court. And I think that is because, you know, the legislature has moved forward on bills before they were tested. Maybe they were too radical. And one of the bills that I would like to use an example is the parental consent law, that raising the age of consent from 14 to 17 and older. Now, on the day that that bill was signed into law by the governor, he wrote a letter to Scott Bedke, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what he said was, "I am concerned the passage of this legislation without express repeal of potentially conflicting sections of code will create confusion for medical professionals and complicate their ability to deliver necessary care to all Idahoans and protect patients' confidential information." This letter was written to Scott Bedke, president of the Senate, on the day that he signed this bill into law. So I think this trigger happiness on the part of our legislators needs to stop.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Next up, we have Mark Sauter, Republican. Same question. Minute and a half.
Okay, thanks. I'll move quickly. First thing you can do is say no. Second thing that needs to be said is that lots of bills are pretty gray. You have to look at what's good in the bill and what's bad. As far as the parental consent bill, it directs parents and their involvement to work with 14-year-olds that are pregnant and the notification of such. There's opt-outs that the industry can have. That was a tough bill to vote on. I voted that our parents in our area would want to be involved in a problem with their child. There are risks. At some point, I think we have to look at it and say, is this something that should happen and should parents be involved? I would say yes. I think our voters want that. Could there be problems? Yes, there could be. Are those predictable? Not so much. Also, I'm very open, and I already know that we're talking about making some amendments to that. When you're on the floor, you have no choice as far as making an amendment on the floor. So it's either an up or a down vote. But anyway, back to the lawsuits. Our attorney general will not give you a legal opinion during session. So everybody needs to understand that. You don't have that advice. The option is you can call home and try and get legal advice from home. I've done that often. I've also voted against the library bill because I thought that was a bad bill and that we would have legal problems with that. So I've been on both sides of this. Thank you.
And thank you, Mark. And we have a rebuttal by Karen. 30 seconds, please.
Just want to address the parental consent law again. And this is what I mean about paying attention to stakeholders and experts in the field, because not one medical provider who showed up to testify for that bill or against it voted in favor of it. They were not in favor of that bill. And just to clarify, I think what many of these medical providers were trying to do is prevent teen pregnancy, prevent this explosion that we're having now of sexually transmitted diseases among our youths. So they were all about prevention.
Thank you. That was Idaho Rep Seat A. That wraps up the ID Legislative District 1 part. Same question goes to our Bonner County Commissioner candidates from District 1. It's Brian's turn to speak first. Do you need that question repeated for you? Okay, you got a minute and a half, please.
So what I've observed is we have primarily three types of reasons that have led to our county enduring unnecessary lawsuits. That would be county commissioners violating constitutionally protected rights of citizens, county commissioners as a board choosing not to go through a thorough process of deliberation before reaching a decision, and then not applying the law equally or correctly. Our county is experiencing numerous lawsuits because of these reasons. The way we avoid that is first and foremost, we respect the citizen's voice. We encourage citizen participation. We use that information to make better informed decisions. Secondly, we explain through deliberation our thought process before reaching a vote so that if there is an error in our thinking or if it needs to be challenged through the court, they can decide whether or not there was a thorough discussion and we reached decisions based on a finding of facts. And then finally, we need to make sure that we're not violating the code, that we are actually following the code and we're treating all of the applicants equally. We continue to fail at this as a county right now, which is why we need a change in leadership. I'm committed to helping us solve that problem in all of those three ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And next up we have Steve Johnson, Independent. Same question, minute and a half, please. Your time will start after you're on the stool.
Whoops, say. So the single biggest lawsuit in my recent memory is the one that Scott Herndon was disrespecting, in my opinion, and endangering the music festival. And for some reason, and I think it has to do with some extremism that was on the board at that time, the county commissioners decided to sue the city of Sandpoint. And after the last forum, I mentioned that, in the last forum, I mentioned that that cost the taxpayers over $100,000. And Mr. Razor, Cornell Razor, told me that Scott Herndon had paid that money back to the county. And I had not heard that. And so I went to the county, to the treasurer, and I said, is there a record of any personal check from Scott Herndon for that over $100,000 plus? And she checked with the other departments, and there is no record of that. So I think the idea of lawsuits costing the taxpayers so much money is a direct result of people who, in my opinion, are not consensus builders. They're extremists out on the edge, and they've somehow wound up with the power. And I think if we shoot for consensus, then that'll be the biggest single thing we can do to avoid costly lawsuits. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And we're going to move on to, we got one more question, then we're going to do closing statements. And we may even get you guys out of here early tonight. So, all right. This question is to all the candidates, and we're going to start with Idaho Rep Seat B. That's Catherine. A candidate mentioned they want to return to civility to the county commission, but we're going to expand this and go just to return to civility in your respective race, legislative or county. What one or two things could you do to accomplish that? And you have a minute and a half, please.
So civility amongst us or civility amongst the community?
Well, I think the general idea of the question is a civility to the, they were asking about civility to the county, but civility to politics, to the state house, to, I think the gist of this question, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking for the person who wrote it, but the gist is civility to the process, politics in general.
So I think one of them is that, you know, this, when we run for these seats, they pay less than $20,000 a year. Anyone who's running for this seat is actually stepping up to do civil service, and I think that we need to show respect to each other in that. I think people are trying to do the best job that they can. As I'm out talking to people in the community, when I talk to them, I'm finding that we have more in common than we have different. And that people don't want to be divisive. When they get on social media, absolutely. I did get accosted by a man in the grocery store here who told me I didn't belong here because it was a crimson red state. And he was packing a gun and he was 6'4". But, you know, he didn't, I just said, you know, I'm trying to change the conversation. And so I think a lot of it is courage. A lot of it is respect. I respect the people who are up on this stage, and I thank them for stepping up and running, and I thank them for doing the best they can, and I hope that we listen to each other. I think seeking to truly understand is probably another key element to that, is that stepping in and always just trying to get your point across is not a way to have civility, and it's not a way to have dialogue. But respecting people and their opinions and listening, truly listening, is key.
Thank you. That's Catherine Larson, Seat B, Idaho Legislative. We are going to move on to Idaho Rep Seat A. And first up is Mark Souter, Republican. Same question. And you have a minute and a half, please.
Oh, sorry about that. That's okay. Thanks, Steve. That's easy. I think the first thing you do is listen to people. It's not that hard to listen, to ask some appropriate questions, to really make sure you understand what their points may be, to be open to talk about most anything and not just to pigeonhole somebody in something.
but also to be available and to be around. You learn a lot about business and you learn a lot about people when you volunteer. I think that's very important as well. And I think more than anything, offering back a comment or two and giving them some feedback is very helpful. So it's just real basic stuff. I write articles for the Reader to try and get the word out on what goes on, and I get some good feedback from that. So I think it's just making yourself available and showing some effort, and I think people will really appreciate that, and you get good feedback too. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mark. And finally, the Idaho Senate race. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. I thought I went with you first. Right. Karen Matei, Idaho Rep, Seat A. Same question, minute and a half.
Yeah. So when I was working for the nonprofit doing landmine survivor assistance, I was a liaison really with the State Department, and I sat down and I talked with State Department people, with senators. And at the same time, I visited the countries where we were doing our work. And one thing I really remember is sitting down in Kabul with men, and I wore a headscarf, I was respectful, but I sat down with men who had never before had a conversation with a woman who was not a relative. And we found common ground over our mutual compassion and concern for the Afghan people. Now, those lessons I brought into my campaign, and I have done, I've said this before, almost 1,500 door knocks in our district, mainly to unaffiliated and Republicans, because I honestly want to know how they feel. And I could say that there are two instances where I failed to find common ground with someone, or we didn't find something that we could agree on, or they were just plain rude, and I just said, you know, it's not worth it. I'm going to let this go. So everything that everyone else has said, you know, respect, asking the questions, and listening, and really a willingness to find common ground with people. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Karen. Now we're moving on to Idaho Senate. Same question, and it's the return to civility. What one or two things could you do to accomplish that? And the first one we're starting with is Jim Woodward, Republican, and you have a minute and a half, please.
I think it's really about keeping an open mind to make sure that when you go into a conversation, you don't come in with a preconceived notion about where someone is. We've really broken ourselves into these groups, especially in the last number of years or a decade, and we come into that, always start that conversation knowing what that person has branded themselves or we have branded them, and so that is a skill set that actually that I'm working on, making a conscious choice there, and I think because of this two-year break that I got out of the legislature, I get to approach it with a little bit different perspective now. And so that's been on my mind. How do we go in and talk to people who we've read something they've written or we've heard something they've said? How do you still go in on a different topic and make sure that you can find some common ground with them to be talking how to come up with a solution for the people of the state of Idaho? So the one piece I'd add, I think that what happens in the legislature is that the longer you're there, the more times you've interacted with someone, and so that sometimes there are some real personality clashes that go on, and so it speaks a little bit to term limits to keep that legislature productive, that if you were rolling people through, you wouldn't have so much of that accumulated baggage.
Thank you, Jim. And next we have Dan Rose, Independent, Idaho Senate. Same question, please, minute and a half.
Yeah, so I'd say the civility issue is, again, been stated probably most eloquently by Mark. In my open door policy, I would ask that if you have a complaint or a legislative desire, that you bring it with sourced information. And then we can have a conversation back and forth. Personally, I don't care to make the decision right there in the spot. I'd rather you sleep on it and I sleep on the discussion we had and even return to another discussion. Oftentimes, at that point that you have in that initial conversation and you have, unbending a position, it's not going to serve very well. So again, I would use, and I have done it. So as a Penderley Hospital taxing district representative, I was the lone voice out of 7 board members for, I'm going to call it, conservative issues. And I did a lot at the Penderley Hospital District. And the first thing I did was to get a website put up. And after I got the website put up, I made motions on everything that they wouldn't talk about. And that put them on the record. And it's things, creative things like that, that you can do. But if you, how do you say, having a wall put up, we need to break those walls down. And there's creative ways to do it. And I would suggest that I can help in that matter.
Okay, thank you. That was Dan Rose, independent. And finally, we are switching over to the county. Same question. You say that you want to return civility to the commission. What one or two things could you do to accomplish that? And we are going to start with Steve Johnson on this first question, or on this last question. And you have a minute and a half, please.
So I believe we have 2 ears and 1 mouth, and that's a pretty good indication of how we should be getting along with other people. Should be listening twice as much as talking, which means I'm down to 3/4 of a minute or so. It's important. Listening, after 40 years of farming and building and especially teaching school, it's a lot of listening. And people, in my opinion, don't really care what you know until they know that you care. And so if you can demonstrate that you're a sincere listener and you're actually going to take their words to heart and not come back with some kind of a flippant answer, then I think that goes a long ways. And the second thing is, as long as we stick with facts, I know that there's some people that believe in alternate realities and that facts are not really facts. But in most cases that I've experienced, facts are facts. And you can present facts without insulting the person who you're talking to. I mean, it's doable. And so I think that's something we can work on. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. And finally, Brian Domke, Republican. Same question, please. Minute and a half.
So I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that we built a consensus that we should all be quick to listen and slow to speak. A part of listening is active listening. That means asking questions to clarify understanding, to repeat things back, to be sure we truly can comprehend the intent of the person who's speaking to us. And then we should be unafraid of having our own ideas challenged and questioned so that we can determine if they are in fact sound or if they should be reconsidered and altered. To me, if you're electing a public servant, you want them to be willing to be challenged in any idea that they bring forward, and they should be able to defend that idea and not do so in a way in which they're taking it personally. So let's build environments where we are listening first, we are asking questions to clarify, and then ultimately we're willing to have our own ideas challenged. If I'm going to present an idea or an opinion, I should be able to defend it with logic, with reason, with facts. So let's not be afraid to have that conversation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. That concludes the question and answer period of our evening. Now we just have closing statements. It's going to be a minute and a half. And before we start, I just wanted to thank everyone for their civility tonight. You guys have been a great audience, and there must be some really cool thing going on tonight that, because we usually have a much bigger audience than this. But you guys are great, and we really appreciate you here. Thanks to Jack and the gang at KRFY, to Chris and Sandpoint Online, Sandy for doing the timing, the reader, And we appreciate you guys coming out. Thank you so much. Remember that the election is on Tuesday, November 5th, and early voting starts, I believe, the 21st, yes, of October. It doesn't start after the election day. And that's it. And also, I'm sorry, KRFY will have this posted on their website probably tomorrow. He usually gets it done a few hours afterwards, so you can direct people to go listen and direct people there. All right, so for closing statements, we're going to go right back to Brian Domke, Bonner County Commissioner, District 1, Republican, and you have a minute and a half, please.
First and foremost, thank you again for taking your time out this evening to become informed voters. You may have heard me say this before, but I think it's important. You are the stakeholders. You are the shareholders of the community, of this business called Bonner County Government, and you're making an important decision about who's going to be on your board of directors. I suggest that you look at this and decide who is the most qualified candidate, who has the most applicable experience, who has relevant experience serving our county. And I offer those qualifications to you that I have with the intent of being a public servant to best represent and support our community as a whole. Regardless of political affiliations and other ideas, at the end of the day, we are all neighbors. If we experience a disaster like a wildfire, nobody cares how you voted. We're there to support and help one another. We need to work together as a community. We need to grow together thoughtfully as a community. And we ultimately need to help hold one another accountable. So if you should choose to vote for me, I am committed to being that public servant. Thank you for your time and consideration. I'm happy to answer people's questions in the future so you can make that well-informed decision. You can also learn more about me at my website, domkeyforbonnercounty.com. I am Brian Domke, running for Bonner County District Commission. I'm sorry, Commissioner District 1. Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you, Brian. And Steve Johnson, independent. Go ahead. A minute and a half. Closing statements. Bonner County Commissioner, District 1.
So I believe it's important for me to summarize the significant differences between myself and Mr. Domke. The first difference, that I think there's quite a difference, is I'm a strong supporter of quality public education and sincerely believe public education is a cornerstone of our democracy. I believe my opponent is not a strong supporter of public education. Second difference, I'm a strong supporter of the sacred right to vote in every election. So I will be voting yes for Proposition 1, the open primary initiative. I believe my opponent does not support Prop 1. Third, I'm a strong supporter of a woman's right to choose her own health care. I don't believe my opponent supports a woman's right to choose her own health care. Number four, I'm a strong supporter of working closely with state and federal governments, including grants, programs, and shared funding. I believe my opponent does not support working in that same with that same commitment. Number five, I strongly support individual freedom and responsibility, including the freedom to read what we want, the freedom to love who we want, and the freedom to pray how we want. And I don't believe my opponent supports those things as strongly as I do. And number six, I totally disagree with signing a loyalty oath to the Boise Lobby Group. The only loyalty oath I would ever sign is to represent you. Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Steve Johnson, independent. That was the Bonner County Commissioner District 1 race. As a reminder, the Bonner County Commissioner District 3 race is Glenn LaFay, independent, and Ron Korn, Republican, both not in attendance tonight. And then the Bonner County Assessor, Dennis Engelhardt, gave an opening statement earlier. Bonner County Sheriff, Darrell Wheeler, Republican, Engelhardt, Republican, and Lewis Marshall, Republican, for Bonner County Prosecuting Attorney. All those three races are uncontested. So we're moving on to the Legislative District 1, and we're going to start with Idaho Senate. And that will be Dan Rose first. Closing statements, 90 seconds, please.
Thank you again all for coming. I think we had a little bit more levitivity than we had last time at the B forum. So it may not have been as mundane as I predicted. I would ask why you wouldn't send Dan Rose's creative, good ideas to Boise. Jim's been there for 4 years. He was voted out of office, and he's the favored candidate of the Republican Party, which he supposedly represents. I would suggest that he probably join the Democrat Party, and he'd be more comfortable, and it'd be easier to explain stuff in specifics that I did not quite hear tonight. My open-door policy, again, comes with any complaint or desire that it be sourced, and we can have those conversations and move forward. I cannot be endorsed by the Bonner County Republican Central Committee because I am an independent candidate. Even though many of the members on the Republican Central Committee agree with my positions and in my campaign. I have to reiterate that Jim was asked to leave the party and is not received an endorsement from that party at this point in time. You can go to Rose for Idaho, my website. It tells you all of I am. And then you can use roseforidaho@gmail.com for any questions. I've had a couple, and I'll respond as soon as I get them. Thank you.
Okay, that was Dan Rose, independent, and we have Jim Woodward, Republican. Closing statements, 90 seconds, please.
Well, good evening. My name is Jim Woodward. I am asking to serve as your state senator. I am ready to go back to work for you. That's what it comes down to. I'm ready to get back to work, and when I say that, ready to get back to work on the business of state government. We've spent a lot of time on different topics that maybe state government shouldn't be involved in. That is, in fact, the first question I always ask myself every time we have a piece of legislation put in front of us: should this be Idaho law or not? That's the very fundamental question. Are we taking on something that should be law or not? So when I say I'm ready to get back to work, I'm talking about your education system, your transportation system, and property taxes here in Idaho. We know all of those are proper roles of state government, and they're due for some improvement. Particularly, you feel it as a property taxpayer. We've never quite gotten our property tax system down. I spent some time on that before, ready to go back with some different ideas on how to solve that. Of course, we know that we also do have a problem in our abortion laws in the state of Idaho, and that is on my list. Been actively talking with folks. That's not a one-person solution. The way this process works with 105 legislators, the governor, and all the interest groups, so we'll see what we can come up with to make those improvements. But my promise to you is simply, I'll listen, I'll make myself available, and I'll listen to everyone's opinions. So, thank you.
Okay, that was Jim Woodward, Republican. And that's the Idaho Senate race between Dan Rose, independent, and Jim Woodward, Republican. Moving on to the Idaho Rep seat B, still in District 1, of course. Catherine Larson, you have a minute and a half. Closing statement.
Thanks. I am, and thanks for coming tonight. I am continually astounded by the quality of the people here and everyone's story and the things people have done, from farmers, loggers, to CEOs of businesses, entrepreneurs here. It's just amazing, the people here. I've worked around the world, and I see the people here being able to stack up to anybody I've worked with anywhere else. So if I get to go to the State House, and I hope you'll send me, it'll be a privilege, and it'll be a privilege to work with my colleagues across the aisle. My opponent talks about trade schools and how supportive he is of trade schools, and yet he signed a loyalty oath to not fund anything past secondary education, anything past 12th grade, including trade schools, NIC, including the University of Idaho. He does not support any exceptions
in the case of rape or incest for a woman having an abortion. I don't think that our positions could be more stark. If you don't send me down there, though, I feel like I've developed some relationships. I will be doing just what I was doing last January and February and writing my legislators and letting people know what's going on. And I will be involved in this community, in Rotary, in Cal, in PEP, in POP, in K and the Native Plant Society. So, you know, I'm involved in a lot of different things and I will continue to be.
Thank you. That was Catherine Larson, Democrat for Idaho Rep Seat B. Catherine's opponent, Cornell Razor, Republican, did not show tonight. Moving on to Seat A, Idaho Rep, we are going to start with Karen Matei, Democrat. Closing statements, 90 seconds.
So tonight, I am asking for your vote. I will fight for all North Idaho families for affordable housing and affordable child care, for access to local quality health care for all, for long-term solution to lowering our property taxes, and for a permanent solution to funding public schools, especially our rural districts. Now, as I said, I do not have to sign a loyalty oath or worry about censorship, so I am free to represent you. And my opponent was censored by the BCRCC, but recently he was endorsed along with Cornell Razor and Russ Fulcher and Heather Scott. And I can only assume that he had to sign a loyalty oath. So I can just say to you that that is one difference between us. I would never do that. So, and I will consider the far-reaching effects of a bill before casting a vote, so I do not have to walk it back or fix it later. Personally, I am angry at the way the GOP has treated people, especially women and children. Constantly underfunding our public schools and cutting critical programs that families need to thrive. It is time to stand up for the everyday Idahoan, and I am ready to do that for you. So thank you, all of you, for coming, and thank you to our hosts. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Karen Matei, Democrat for Idaho Rep Seat A. Now we have Mark Sauter, Republican, incumbent for same race, and you have 90 seconds for closing statement.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Mark Sauter, and I'm asking for your vote. I'm really fortunate. It's been an honor to serve all of you for the last 2 years, and I'm asking to go back. This year I've passed 5 bills to help our own district, and all were signed by the governor. I know how to get things done. Get stuff done is my motto. I have no loyalty to any GOP organization. After all, I've been censured. I didn't ask for an endorsement, and I've taken no oath, nor do I plan to take an oath. I believe that in many respects, government should be boring, so I don't look at this as an exciting job. This is a job to get things done. The number one issue that we have for our state capitol every year for session is to pass a budget that works. I've been a part of that for 2 years. We've done very well with educational spending and improvements there. We've passed $1 billion improvement for school facilities. It needs to continue. We need to continue to support our schools, also career technical education. We've spent, on my watch, $1 billion for infrastructure. I'd like to see that continue. That's going to be a tough job, but it can happen. I've supported public safety, and I believe in one thing for sure, and that's you eat the elephant one bite at a time. We take all these bills and we do it step by step and get them done. Build a consensus and get the votes to make things better. And that's my pledge to you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Mark Sauter, Republican, Idaho Rep Seat A for Legislative District 1. And that is the evening, everybody. Please give our candidates a round of applause for coming tonight. The reader is going to have a recap of the forum on Thursday, and we're also going to doing our candidate questionnaire, which has questions and answers, 5 questions to each candidate, and so this week's edition will be very informative, so make sure you pick that up. Check out Election Central on sandpointonline.com. Check out the Bonner County election website. Get all your information, but most importantly, vote November 5th. We appreciate you guys. Thank you.